Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, the summer between my 8th and 9th grade years, our family went to Colorado on a family vacation, and while we were there, we got to do a lot of fun things, including we visited the Royal Gorge. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the Royal Gorge, it is it's a canyon that's part of the Arkansas River. It's just west of Canyon City, Colorado. And if you've never been there, I've got a picture for you to look at. Now, this is just one that I found online. I did not take this picture myself. As we were there, we got to see this beautiful gorge. And what we see in this picture is this big bridge that goes across it. And if you're at the gorge and you want to go to the other side, you have to cross this bridge. There's no other way. So my family and I, we started walking on this bridge, which, by the way, is a wood-slatted bridge, and I'm sure that it is completely sturdy. However, while we were walking across it, I felt like it was beginning to shake and sway in the wind. And so as I'm walking, I feel like it's shaking and swaying. I look down, I see how far that drop is. Now, everybody else seemed to be walking across it without any hesitation, but as I was trying to walk across that bridge, feeling like it was swaying and shaking, my legs began to give out, and I went down, and I had to crawl off of the bridge back to safety. Felt like I could die at any moment. So on Sunday mornings, we're going through this series titled The Resurrected Life. And as we're going through this series on Sunday mornings, we're walking through the book of Ephesians. But tonight, we're going to diverge from the book of Ephesians. We're actually going to go to the book of John. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to John chapter 19. We're going to look at verses 28 through 30. John 19, 28 through 30. Now, I want to take you back to the book of John tonight because before we can get to the resurrection, first we have to cross the bridge of the crucifixion. And just like I was unable to cross the bridge at the Royal Gorge that day, the reality is the crucifixion is a bridge that you and I are unable to cross. Even if we wanted to cross it, we would not be able to cross it for ourselves. It is a bridge that must be crossed, but it is a bridge that you and I cannot cross for ourselves, because if you and I would have gone to the cross, we would die in our sins. But when Jesus went to the cross, Jesus died for our sins. And so our death on the cross would not have the same impact as Jesus's death, because we would die in our sins. Jesus died for our sins. And this is exactly what we are remembering tonight as we have paused to take the Lord's Supper together, because it's through Christ's body broken and it's through his blood shed that we have the forgiveness and the redemption that we desperately need. So we thank God for the fact that he didn't make us go to the cross. We thank God for the fact that he didn't make us cross this bridge ourselves, because we would die in our sins, but Jesus died for our sins. Now, it was Thursday night that Jesus had that Last Supper with the disciples, as he shared in the Passover with the disciples. Tomorrow, Friday, is when Jesus went to the cross. And so tonight I want us to look at the crucifixion of Jesus and really prepare our hearts to remember his great sacrifice as we move into Good Friday tomorrow. So in John chapter 19, if you look at all of John chapter 19, you see Jesus beaten, you see him sentenced, you see him crucified. You may want to read through all of John chapter 19 either tonight or tomorrow just to prepare your hearts for that, for remembering Christ's sacrifice for us. But tonight, we're not going to look at all of Jesus' crucifixion. We're just going to look at those final moments just before Jesus died. So with that in mind, let's read John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. It says, "After this, when Jesus knew that everything was now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, 'I'm thirsty.' A jar full of sour wine was sitting there. So they fixed a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it up to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' Then bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." Now, when we take the Lord's Supper together, it is an act of remembrance. In fact, our Lord's Supper table says, "This do in remembrance of me." It is an act of remembrance. And so, as we look at our passage this evening, there are two things that we should remember. First, we should remember what Jesus said. Now, Jesus actually, he made seven statements. He said seven things while on the cross. We're not going to look at all of those seven things. You can see those throughout the Gospels. But we're going to look at the two things that Jesus said in our passage that we're looking at tonight. So first, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." Now, these are two important words because thirst is a reminder of our humanity. Because if our thirst is not quenched, we can die. So back when Emily was in preschool, she and her class, they'd been out on the playground playing together. It was a hot August day. And after coming back inside, Emily said those two words to her teacher, "I'm thirsty," and then she passed out. And so Sarah and I, we got contacted, and they told us that Emily was being taken to the hospital, a phone call that no parent wants to receive. Praise God, Emily survived. But things changed that day for Emily's school. From that point on, anytime kids were going out to the playground, they had to take water bottles out with them, and I think that's still their policy today. So here Jesus says these two words, "I'm thirsty." And following these two words, things didn't just change for a school, things changed for this world. Because it was on the cross where these two words were spoken that Jesus died for the sins of mankind, and through his death, forgiveness was made available to all who will believe. And so things changed that day, but as we think about Jesus speaking these two words, "I'm thirsty," we're also reminded that Jesus identified with sinners. Now, this is not to say that Jesus himself sinned. That would actually disqualify Jesus from being that perfect sacrifice for us. But what it means is that in every way that you and I experience the troubles and the difficulties of this world, Jesus experienced the troubles and the difficulties of the world too. Jesus experienced the temptations of this world and the physical turmoil in this world. In other words, what you and I go through, Jesus went through too. He was thirsty. Jesus identified with sinners, but more specifically what it means is that Jesus identifies with you. And maybe you need that reminder tonight that Jesus identified with you. But this is what I want you to know. While Jesus identified with sinners, while Jesus identified with you, the hope that we have in him is not just that he experienced the same difficulties that we experience. It's not just that he experienced the same troubles that we experience as humans. The hope that we have is that Jesus overcame them. In other words, Jesus overcame the world. It's exactly what Jesus told the disciples in John 16, 33. He said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world." So yes, Jesus experienced the same troubles and the same difficulties that we experience in this world, yet while we are unable to overcome them in our strength, Jesus overcame them in His. Jesus overcame the world. So Jesus said, I'm thirsty. Second, Jesus said, it is finished. So we're told that after Jesus said these words, I'm thirsty, in order that Scripture might be fulfilled, He said, I'm thirsty, right? And so after all of Scripture had been fulfilled, after all of those prophecies of the Messiah being the sacrifice for us were fulfilled, Jesus said, it is finished. It's amazing to think about the power of those words. It is finished. Just a few words can change everything. Think about it. If a man asks a woman to marry him, those few words can change everything. Will you marry me? If you're saying goodbye to someone, those words can change everything for you. I remember when I said goodbye to a few friends in high school, there are some that I have not seen since that day that we said goodbye. That one word can change everything, goodbye. For someone on trial, there's a few words that can change everything for them. So Sarah and I, we've been lately in the evenings, we've been watching Dateline NBC. If you don't know what Dateline NBC is, shame on you. But we've been watching Dateline NBC, and in Dateline NBC, right, every episode investigates, it follows the investigation of a murder, and it even goes through the trial of the person charged with murder. And so when the jury comes back with their verdict, they are going to speak some very powerful words. The words that they speak can change everything, guilty or not guilty. Those words can change everything. Jesus said, it is finished, and those words changed everything. So some of you may be familiar with the Greek word that is translated there as it is finished. It's the word tetelestai. Tetelestai. And what's important to understand about this word is that it was often written on receipts to indicate that something had been paid in full. So to the Greek reader of this passage in its original language, to the Greek reader, seeing that word tetelestai would indicate to them not just that all of the Scriptures, all of the prophecies had been fulfilled, but also that through Christ's death, the debt had been paid. In other words, there is nothing more owed. And maybe that's a reminder that you need tonight. I think it is a reminder that we need sometimes, that there is nothing more owed. Jesus did not pay 99%, and we still have 1% left to pay. Jesus did not do 99% of the work, and then we still have 1% of the work left to do. Jesus paid the bill in full. Jesus completed all the work necessary. And so any work that we do in this life for Jesus is not for us to be saved. It is because we have been saved. It is in service to the one that has already saved us and paid everything for us. There's nothing else that's needed to be done, nothing else that needs to be paid. And so once all the prophecies had been fulfilled, Jesus rightfully said, it is finished, because the debt had been paid in Him. So we need to remember what Jesus said. Second, we need to remember what Jesus did. After saying it is finished, we see that Jesus bowed His head. Now, as we see that phrase, bowed His head, we don't really get the full picture of what this means in the English language, but in the original language, this would not have meant that He was simply bowing His head in defeat. But in the original language, this phrase, He bowed His head, was really a phrase of bowing His head in peace, like someone laying their head down on the pillow at night to go to sleep. Jesus was at peace when He bowed His head because He knew that He had completed the task. Jesus bowed His head in peace when he bowed His head there because He knew that He was not defeated, but that He was victorious. So let me say it this way. Jesus didn't bow his head in defeat. Jesus bowed his head in victory. Because it's through the cross that our sins are paid for. It's through the cross that we gain that right standing before God. Now, Satan may have believed that Jesus had lost, but really, Jesus' death was the final blow to sin once and for all. So Jesus didn't bow his head in defeat. Jesus bowed his head in victory. And what this means for us is that because Jesus bowed his head, we can hold our head high, because when we come to know Christ as our Lord, we get to share in his victory. So Jesus bowed his head. Finally tonight, we're reminded that Jesus gave up his spirit. After Jesus bowed his head, we read, then he gave up his spirit. And this is important for us to remember, because here's the reality. While yes, the guards arrested Jesus, while yes, Pilate tried Jesus, while yes, the crowd shouted, crucify Jesus, while yes, the soldiers nailed Jesus' hands and feet to that cross and shoved that crown of thorns on his head, while yes, they did all of those things, the reality is that no one took Jesus' life. Jesus gave his life. This is exactly what Jesus said was going to happen in Matthew 20:28, when he predicted his death to the disciples and then talked about the disciples' call to serve. He said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So let me say it again. No one took Jesus' life. Jesus gave his life. Jesus came into this world with the purpose and the intention of going to the cross. The cross was not a surprise to Jesus. The cross was the plan for Jesus. And so when the time came, he willingly went to the cross. He willingly let them beat him. He willingly let them drive those nails into his hands and his feet. And when everything was completed, he gave up his spirit. Jesus gave his life. It is a bridge that you and I could not cross, but it is a bridge that he crossed willingly. And thank God that he did. And so we celebrate and we remember his crucifixion as we share in the Lord's Supper and as we move into Good Friday, which, by the way, Good Friday is really Great Friday, because it's the greatest Friday there ever was, because it is on Good Friday that Jesus died for our sins. It is a cross, or it is a bridge that we could not cross, but Jesus crossed that bridge for us. And because Jesus went to the cross, we are able to live the resurrected life. And so let me encourage you, as we leave this place tonight, don't stop remembering. Continue to remember the sacrifice. Take that into Good Friday with you. Remember what he did, and then prepare your hearts for that glorious celebration on Sunday morning as we celebrate our risen King. But listen, there may be someone in here tonight that has never looked to the cross and trusted Jesus as their Savior. I see a lot of familiar faces in here, but I never want to take it for granted that everyone is saved. There could be someone that maybe has trusted in their works, maybe has trusted in religion, but tonight you've heard the gospel and you realize that your trust needs to be in Jesus and Jesus alone. And so we're going to sing one more song. And as we sing this song, I'm going to be right down in front of the Lord's Supper table. And if you need to confess your sins to the Lord tonight and to turn to him, declaring him as the Lord of your life, then I invite you to come and talk with me. Let's pray together, and tonight can be the night. It was actually a couple of years ago on this night that we had some kids give their life to Christ. And so if there's someone here tonight that needs to make that decision, that opportunity is open to you right now. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.